Healthspedia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
Six ten on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia, and as the song says, I am back. We got a lot to talk about today for sure, but we'll start with the awesome fall weather that I woke up to this morning. 48 degrees in the car, Dan. Loved it. You know what it is? The weather has caught up to my studio attire. Because it's usually chilly in here, so I wear a vest or a hoodie. But now, I was a little cold this morning walking out.
It's time, right? Yeah. I mean, we talked about how 88 degrees this weekend was a little ridiculous, right? So the fact that today's going to end up 25 degrees cooler than that, I think we're ready for some real fall weather.
Is this the normal?
This is actually below normal. Normal
no
would
kidding.
Be 70, and we're talking lower 60s today. So we go to the other side of normal. This would be like a Got normal it. Halloween kind of day today. So
okay.
We're a little below.
So what do we expect? I mean, the weekend is here.
Just about. So today, I mean, if you're craving fall weather, here you go. Sunshine and cool temperatures today and tomorrow. And Saturday looks decent. And then we've got this coastal storm, nor'easter, coming into view for Sunday into Monday.
Sunday night, or could it ruin the Sunday?
This is a Sunday daytime all the way into Monday thing. This is an extended period of time where we're looking at rain and wind, and because that wind is blowing from the ocean, coastal flooding is a pretty serious concern here as well. Now, the details are still the question mark. You know, how much rain, how hard will the wind blow, how big will the storm surge and coastal flooding be? Those are the puzzle pieces that we still need to fit in, but at this point, there's no doubt that this is going to be a nasty storm. This is going to be a serious storm.
Timing, though, I'll tell you why I'm asking. I'm in Seaside on Ocean Boulevard for the Columbus Day Parade. I'm in the float with my good friend Chef Umberto and the Pizza Wars group. But that's at 12:30 Sunday.
I don't want to say that it's going to be a total washout because the way these things work, the rain tends to come in bands. You know, it's not going to be a nice day, but you might find some breaks. The other piece of the puzzle that's missing here is when the brunt of the storm will be, when the nastiest weather will be, you know, it's really going to pour. Some models put that on Sunday afternoon. Some are more like Sunday night. So we still haven't settled on that yet either. But, you know, at this point, we're just kind of checking the box that, there's going to be a storm. Your general timeline is Sunday and Monday.
Okay.
And it's that classic three of rain, wind, and coastal flooding. Those are the three that we're watching here. So if you want to do something this weekend, Saturday's your best bet. It's not a total lost hope for the rest of the weekend, but especially near the coast, just understand at best it's going to be pretty inclement and wet and windy.
Let's hope it doesn't start till noon.
You have a chance.
Okay.
I'm you know I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it as I see it. Just the way that there's wiggle room, margin of error, you do have a chance of that happening here.
I might know more tomorrow.
We will absolutely know more tomorrow. Yeah, let's talk.
Thank you, Dan. Mm-hmm. Eric, I promised the audience I would watch the debate so they didn't have to.
It was hard to watch.
It was really hard to watch. To your question before we got on air, yes, my phone blew up at one particular point.
Yeah.
And you played it today. Let me ask you this. First question is, I don't know that either of us know the answer. I didn't understand Mikey Sherrill's accusation about the major Republican. She actually called it the Republican nominee's top donor, who's under indictment. I don't know who she was talking about. Do you?
I don't know the details on that yet.
No one seemed to know. I asked the question last night.
I'm still kind of going through the stuff, so I'm looking to ferret that out today
but
as well.
She accused him of being complicit in the deaths of tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was, at least I walked at my graduation.
At my graduation.
I wanted to rewind it, but I don't watch regular TV. So I had to ask Jody to help me find the right remote to even get to ABC. I'm like, and then I'm like, hey, it's blurry. I needed it to high def. So that was, my first time watching broadcast television in many years. But I don't think he was prepared for that line of attack.
Well, look, and we can get into the details of how she connected the dots and made that allegation and all that later on. But I have to, when you saw the response, heard the response, how did he not know that this was going to come up? NJ.com published an article about this in 2021. It was raised in his last campaign.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what his answer was back then because I'm trying to find it. It had to have been better than the reaction that he had last night. He was angry.
Yeah.
He was rattled. He had no response.
No.
And it was a bad moment for the GOP nominee.
And you know what he doesn't have, the Republican nominee? The excuse when he threw his lieutenant governor candidate, Jim Gannon, under the bus, saying that, well, it was his first debate. He doesn't have that excuse after 10 years of running for governor.
Like Cheryl pointed out that, this is your third attempt at running for governor. That was a nice little dig.
She actually called him a perennial candidate.
A perennial candidate.
Which I think we're
right
there.
And how about the moderator at one point calling her governor?
I texted you that. Did he just call her the governor? It was a bad night for the Republican. No doubt.
There is no doubt. There was a moment where I actually felt bad for the nominee because it just, how could it have gone worse? That was a moment. That was her shame on you moment. And, best he could come up with was shame on me, shame on you.
And then talk about the immigration issue.
Yeah.
The two are not the same.
No.
And even if we agree, and I did, and I pointed this out when I was running, that the fentanyl crisis was absolutely exacerbated by the cartels and the gangs and the open borders. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. But when you make millions of dollars and you do it as a way of shilling for Big Pharma and then have no answer for it. And I think that maybe the app was a bit of a stretch, but it was the same company. So he did cash out on the success of the articles that apologized for Big Pharma, provided them cover during the opioid epidemic, and the app. There's no question about that. He didn't deny that. I don't even know how that's an issue other than the fact that he had no response.
Well, that was it. Well, right. I mean, the anything that he could have said. He said two things. At least I got to walk at my graduation, and
I'm proud of providing for my family.
Yeah, I'm proud of what I did to provide for my family. Dumbfounded
is the word. It's 6:18. Did you watch the debate last night? Do you agree that this was a pivotal moment? I don't know how many people watched it, so maybe it's going to just fall flat. But did you watch it? Did this debate influence your decision in the governor's race coming up? 6:18. Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
Stay connected with traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes right here on New Jersey 101.5.
6:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, as promised, I did stay up. It was early. The debate was only an hour, 7 to 8 p.m. I had to find the right remote. I just don't watch TV. I don't know about you. So I don't know how many people saw the debate last night, but it was rough for the Republican candidate. And it was rough because he was just not prepared. I think what tends to happen, especially if you're a perennial candidate who's been running for governor for 10 years, that you start to get anxious and annoyed that you've got to continue to go through it. It's almost like he believes he's entitled after putting in 10 years of campaigning and spending millions and millions of dollars that it's his turn now. And the voters will decide on November 4th whose turn it is. But if you are an undecided or unaffiliated or independent-minded voter, last night was not a good night for the Republicans. And the reason is that Congresswoman Cheryl punched one of the hardest punches of the campaign season, accusing the Republican nominee of profiting to the tune of millions and millions of dollars off the opioid epidemic. Now, if you're calling balls and strikes on this, A, how was he totally unprepared for that question? Knowing that he did cash in with millions of dollars and his company did publish article after article after article, basically providing cover for Big Pharma at the height of the opioid epidemic. Now, as you know, New Jersey has three times the overdose deaths. And every group I've worked with, and you know I've been doing this for more than a decade, working with addiction services, intervention services, companies and groups that try to save lives, not apologize and cover for the bad guys. And, you know, Big Pharma is as complicit as any group in the death of young people in particular who get hooked on painkillers, et cetera. And the idea that the Republican nominee made millions off this, wow, wow. So it's a shame. And I think that for voters that watch, now I don't know that anybody really watched, but the moment that defined how this campaign is running is when the Republicans' response to the Democrat attack was, at least I walked to my graduation. What a slap in the face to all who have suffered on this journey. How many of us know someone, all of us know someone who struggled and suffered, got hooked on painkillers and moved on to harder stuff? How many of us know families who have lost kids to this horror? And to be so cold as to equate walking with your class at graduation to being complicit in the deaths of thousands, it was really a disgusting moment. And I'll be honest, guys, it shows you who this person is. So if you needed any other reason as to why I am firm in my stance that I will not be endorsing the Republican, you got a bunch of reasons last night in that hour. Now, there are other things that came out of that in terms of who's actually got a plan to fix New Jersey. And on that, the Democrats are completely out of bounds, because most of what you're suffering under right now is because of the Democrats. And then you'll say, well, what's the solution? I'll give it to you on the other side. And John, you want to disagree with me? That's fine. We'll have your call first on the other side of the news, which is next with Eric Scott. 6:39 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, just a reminder, today is October 9th, Thursday, which means the $1,000 at work payday is on. But today you can earn $10,000. Yeah, 10 grand. So pay attention. 8:20, 9:20 during this show. And then 20 minutes after the hour for the rest of the day, you can win $10,000. So I'll have that code for you at 8:20. Eric, so we had a flurry of people calling to express their anger on behalf of the Republican Party, but more their anger at us for discussing how poorly the Republican did last night. But this is interesting. The app chat kind of blew up over this.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's, I'm just going to read this. Where is it? Randy in Bridgewater, you told your supporters that the candidate has to earn your vote. If there was a question about holding my nose in the ballot box to vote for Jack just for the sake of winning NJ for the GOP, I can't do that after this debate. He's terrible. I wish none of the above was on the ballot. And if none of the above was there, they would win. You know, that's... I've told people none of the above is on the ballot. You check write in, and you write in none of the above.
Write it in.
If you really.
Mm-hmm.
But the funniest thing about this is you look at that, there's like a string of serious commentary. But then right before Randy is a comment that was made at 9 o'clock last night. How many cats did John have? So the app chat provides no break between whatever the hell Trev was talking about last night. What the hell was he talking about? I don't know. How many cats does John have? I now want to know. But you know, Eric, you were calling balls and strikes on this, and I don't know how you get away from that exchange last night. Can we play that again? Do you have that?
Yeah, I have it. I have it right here.
So if you missed the debate last night, the Democratic nominee going after the Republican nominee on an issue where he made millions of dollars, the Republican, with a company that effectively provided cover for Big Pharma during the height of the opioid epidemic. And I don't have to remind anybody in the space of addiction services, recovery, et cetera, that New Jersey, over the last, I don't know, what is it, 10 years or so, we have had three times the national average in overdose deaths. So this is something that really hits home in New Jersey, and the fact that the Republican had no response, or one of the worst responses I've ever heard on a debate stage. Let's just play it.
With regard to everything she just said about my professional career, which provided my family, it's a lie. I'm proud of my career.
You get 30 seconds.
I'm happy to publish the information and hear
the
facts.
I'm sure you are.
I work because I think our kids deserve better. Mm-hmm. I think the people you got addicted and died deserve better than you.
Addicted
and I'll
and
tell you, yeah. Tens of thousands here, as you published misinformation, as you got more people addicted, as you worked to develop, got paid to develop an app so that more people could get more opioids and die.
I got to walk at my college graduation. I got to walk at my college graduation.
And, I'm so glad that you then went on to kill tens of thousands of people in New Jersey, including children,
and I never broke the
as
law.
They got... You just broke the law. In fact, your campaign right now is under federal investigation for how you illegally got access to my records. So to say that right now, and I think you're trying to divert from the fact that you killed tens of thousands of people by printing your misinformation, your propaganda, and then getting paid to develop an app so that people could more easily get the opioids once they were addicted. Families across the state deserve to know more about that.
Wow.
I think about this, you know, I'm kind of writing a piece this morning. I'm fleshing it out because it often in political campaigns, and you know this now firsthand, it's not often what your opponent says about you. It's how you respond. And, you know, you think about past debates, whether they're gubernatorial debates, whether they're presidential debates, the 1980 debate between Carter and Reagan comes to mind where, you know, Carter's up on the debate stage and he's hammering Reagan for, you know, being opposed to Medicaid. And Reagan just looks at him and goes, there you go again.
Yeah.
And then goes right into, you know, a defense of the reason.
And Reagan was calm and professional. Part of the difference, and it's a really good analogy, is Ronald Reagan was comfortable in his own skin because Ronald Reagan did not change his position based on the audience.
Correct.
The Republican nominee has been literally on every side of every issue. He has no guiding principles, and his principles are elect me. It's time. That's the principle.
Yeah.
So how can, and you know, what's interesting is that if you look at some of the app chat, it's turning. People are like, wow, this is, here's a comment from Paul and Ewing. The new nickname for Jack, Towel Jack. He basically is throwing in the towel with the last debate.
Well,
and that's where, but the callers, if you notice, and they hung up, and I wish they wouldn't. If you're mad at me, please, let's have a conversation, because what's happening, Eric, is that people are blaming you and I for hurting him instead of looking at how bad he's performing. Like I have said this. He's ugly. I'm just providing a mirror. Don't blame the mirror.
Well, and look, I mean, the anger is misplaced, as you and I've talked about before. You know, they're angry that this is the candidate.
And
that doesn't necessarily mean that they wanted you or somebody else. So they're just,
this is the reality.
Got. And they're angry that this is what they've got, and that you have a candidate who is literally now on the verge of snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. And the thing that I hear both internally and externally and from my Republican friends in that is that we should be up by 15 points on the economic issues alone.
Yeah.
And look, Mikey can't declare a state of emergency on day one and freeze your... There's nothing about that policy that is legal or makes sense.
Well, even if she could, freezing the rates at $1,000 a month is not going to help a middle-class family.
But it's a great soundbite.
Yeah.
It's a great strategy. And it took the issue away from the Republican nominee who has not been able yet to effectively counter that.
That's the issue. How is that possible? And I'll ask you again. I mean, I'm seeing some of you like Dom G and Hazlitt mad at me, thinks that this is about losing the primary. No, This is about calling the balls and strikes because I love New Jersey. And New Jersey does deserve better, quite honestly, than both of the characters that were on stage last night. But you have to call it as you see it. Because, guys, I'm old enough to remember, and many of you are too, the disaster of Christine Todd Whitman, arguably one of the worst governors we have ever had. And yes, guys, you'd have been better off if Florio had won re-election in 93. And there, a lot of the credit for his losing goes to this station because Jim Gerhart and Eric Scott were calling balls and strikes then. And Florio was not strong enough to overcome. But when we got what we wanted, it was the unraveling of our state economy, of our budgeting process, our debt, and the Republican Party, which has never recovered from the win in 93. I want you to digest that point. 647, traffic on the next.
Connect to the show anytime by sending us a message through our app. Just tap on Chat with Hosts, only on New Jersey 101.5.
Free on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Hey, I'll be in Seaside on Sunday with my friend Chef Umberto for the Columbus Day Parade. I'll keep you posted as to the weather. I've reached out to him to see if there's a weather contingency. But I can't wait for that. I'm also, I'll be speaking at a church. I'll have details on that that I will be sharing on social media on Sunday morning. So lots going on. We're talking about the debate. The Republican and Democrat nominees faced off for a debate last night on ABC. And other than the moderators just being awful, I mean, they had no, they're just not bad people. They're not Jersey, and they clearly had no comprehension of matching funds or the main issues driving the conversation in New Jersey. That said, the Democrat nominee delivered a punch that I almost could not believe landed so well, where the Republican was just completely knocked off his kilter. I mean, he had no response. I mean, it was a mess. Now what do you do? Let's go to Andrew on the Parkway. Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good. What do you want to say?
So first, I wish you were the candidate.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
The problem here is, you know, listen, it's very frustrating, you know, listen to your commentary this morning, you know, because what are we supposed to do as residents?
Yeah.
We love this state. We live here. They're both train wrecks on both sides.
Yeah, I know.
And the fact that you have a one-party rule here in the state, one-party rule would be bad either side, Republican or Democrat. But the fact that the Democrats are so cocky.
Yeah, they are.
That they're driving us residents into the ground. Murphy's burning it down on the way out the door horribly, and she's just going to pick up where he left off with all these bad policies.
You know, so, Andrew,
yes, she might have.
Here's the thing. I you're not wrong, and her policies are horrible. Here's the thing that Eric and I have been talking about, that there is a power shift coming. And the challenge is, on the Republican side, you've got a candidate who is completely owned by lobbyists and backroom guys. And I can't unknow what I now know from the last several years of battling these guys. And they're no good for the state. And their agenda is their agenda. It's not my agenda, not your agenda. They're not. The backroom Republicans are not thinking about average taxpayers. They don't care. They want to make their money and they want to have their power. And the evidence, other than what I know firsthand from knowing these guys, is reflected in how over the last, let's say, 10 years, they've done nothing to rebuild a majority in the legislature. They go after candidates that don't fall in line, and they leave local candidates out to dry. So instead of, like, supporting good candidates like John Leggio, who's the mayor in Howell, they go after him. Instead of supporting good candidates that are, you know, Rich Castaldo, who was running for the assembly, they go after him. And they put in their own subpar puppets who lose to the Democrats. So the problem is that if the Republican wins, you're going to have a strong Democratic-led legislature. And given the lack of ideas, the lack of principles of the Republican, we're going to have a hard time in 2027 rebuilding a majority. On the flip side, most Democrats, even in the legislature, honestly, Andrew, are not as radical and left-wing as Murphy or Cheryl. But Murphy has been able to dominate because, and Eric and I have talked about this, he controls the unions and they squeeze these guys for money. And most every politician in Trenton on both sides, totally for sale, totally owned by the special interest money. So what do? You vote locally. And Andrew, what I'm asking people to do is if the Republican earns your vote, then vote for him. He's not earned mine. And I am focused on local elections because what the only way out of this mess is to elect strong, common sense Republicans to the legislature. That's the answer.
No, I totally agree with you. But, you know, as people of the state, we got to stop thinking and just voting because it's blue or because it's red. And, yeah. You know, just think about what's going to be best for you and your family because this state's out of control.
It's out of control.
It really is. Everybody's working 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet.
Andrew, I promise you this. I've got your back on this. I know the pain that a lot of people are so desperate saying the only way out is to win with a Republican in November. Well, not if that Republican is not a real Republican. Not if he's going to carry on the same nonsense that have been squeezing the middle class for the last 20 years. What we need is real change. And I'm sorry to be the deliverer of bad news, but we got to go back to the 1993 model that the Democrats put in place and rebuild this thing from the ground up. And that starts on the November 5th. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the call. 6:58. Eric Scott with the news next.
Staying on top of the topics that matter to you, we are New Jersey 101.5.
7:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Eric, not that you asked me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I feel the need to defend our news anchor this morning. You've done nothing but call balls and strikes this morning. You played the clip, so it's the candidates in their own words. Yet you're being accused of being Kathy, what was that note on Facebook? You're being accused of being a partisan tool.
Yeah.
Some of our friends on the app chat, very angry. Some of these, by the way, will make it into the hate-o-meter next Wednesday.
I'm just
pointing that out. But the point is that, and I've said this before, Republicans who are mad at me for not endorsing the Republican candidate, look, you got an ugly campaign. You got an ugly lack of a message. And I'm just holding up the mirror. So you can blame the mirror for being ugly. But, you really have to reflect on what's happening. And it's not about anything other than we are watching an unraveling, I think, last night. He did not have an answer. And the answer that the Republican candidate gave when accused of killing tens of thousands of people is, at least I walked at my graduation.
Yeah, I
couldn't
just
believe that.
Like you, that was the moment where my phone blew up. And you know that emoji of the guy with his hand over his face?
I got those too.
Yeah. I must have 100 of them on my phone, and most of them are from Republicans.
Oh, the Republicans, they know now. They're like, oh boy, uh-oh.
I went into this debate, and you and I talked a little bit about this off air.
I wasn't even going to watch it.
I wasn't going to watch it, and then I was going to watch it, because people keep saying, and you included, that, you know, the Republican nominee cannot come up with detailed plans. He doesn't give specifics.
Right.
And I thought, well, why is that? Is that perception? Is that reality? Yeah. Why do people say that? So I wanted to listen very carefully to the candidates' individual answers. And prior to, you know, the bombshell that Mikey dropped on her Republican opponent, I was really focusing on that. And I came to the conclusion, as I listened to the answers that the Republican nominee was giving, is that he's very good at agreeing with a question and providing statistics to back it up. So the typical answer would be something like, well, you know, what's the a question about energy policy?
Mm-hmm.
And then he would articulate, you know, how many plants had been closed and, you know, all of those things. 45 seconds out of a 60-second answer, and then he would get to the end of it and go, and I'm the only candidate that has a comprehensive plan to solve that issue.
Funny you say that. That was in his closing remarks last night.
Yeah.
I'm the only one with a detailed plan to solve it. And I'm thinking to myself, what plan? I didn't hear one plan.
That was the frustrating part, is that you got the I have a plan, But you didn't get a lot of detail behind it. Where the Democratic nominee, Mikey Sherrill, she was asked a question. She went immediately into whatever the details of her plan is. Now, you can argue that those details would be horrible
right.
for New Jersey if they were enacted, or that it could never be enacted, or whatever. But she at least went into that detail. And I think that it, subliminally or even consciously,
yeah.
people are looking at that and saying, okay, the Republican nominee keeps saying, I have a comprehensive plan. What is it?
Right. Well, it's the trick in politics, right? You say it enough, people will believe it. But that's not what we saw last night. And I think you're right. Even from the opening statement, the Democrat nominee came out with a list. 1, 2, 3. Here's what we're going to do.
Right.
But also, we haven't brought this up yet, but I think it deserves mentioning. She smiled. He didn't smile one time.
The demeanor of the candidates wow. were entirely different. And I will tell you this, you know, that is the thing that Sandra noticed immediately. She wasn't watching the debate. I was watching it on my phone, yeah. and I had it sitting
Jody didn't watch it.
On the center island of the kitchen, and I had my earbuds in, so she couldn't even hear it. But she walked up and she started looking at that, and the first, she said two things. Oh, I like her smile.
Yep.
And why does this guy look so angry?
Yeah, I mean, part of this business is relatability to people. And if you're angry and you're bitter, but honestly, to me, the turning point was we're not going to even address the tens of millions of dollars that were made. I don't know how much money the guy made when he sold his business. I do know that the opioid epidemic is totally out of control. And to be insensitive and not cognizant of that reality in New Jersey, I don't know how you're qualified to lead the state. All right, Jim, Mike, I'm going to get to you guys first on the other side of traffic and weather. Next, 714.
Get the latest traffic and weather updates with the New Jersey 101.5 app.
7:23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. We'll keep you posted on this weather as it approaches for the Sunday storm. As I told you, I'll be in Seaside with the Pizza Wars guys and Chef Umberto on the float for the Columbus Day Parade. You know, it's one of my favorite holidays. Also Sunday, regardless of the weather, I will be in New Egypt for a great event. We're calling it Civic Involvement Sunday. It's my friend, Pastor Dominic Cuzzo, former mayor of Plumstead. His church, the Bible Baptist Church, invited me in. They're on Lakewood Avenue in New Egypt. I will be there at 9 o'clock talking to the kids' Bible study and then addressing the church, talking about civic involvement and addressing some of the most important issues that are facing us as New Jerseyans and as Americans. All right, we're talking about the debate last night, and many of you did not see it, but calling balls and strikes on this. This was a very rough night for the Republican nominee as the Democrat nominee landed a punch that I could change the direction of the momentum in the campaign. Let's go to Jim in Freehold. Morning, Jim.
Bill, good morning. Listen, I called back a couple weeks ago, and I apologize for not voting for you in a primary. I'm going to do the same thing again. It's just ridiculous. I apologize.
Well, look, Jim, you voted for the guy who you thought was best. Why apologize now? I mean, you don't mean an apology. Don't, you know, everybody, look, if I failed to earn your vote during the primary, that's on me. But,
well,
you know, what
so
is changing your mind?
I'm more so apologizing to myself that I didn't see through all the bluster and whatnot. I wish all the people from outside New Jersey that are here trying to help him now were here trying to help you as well. I just see someone who is I promised the young man who answered the call before I wouldn't say this, but someone who is not being a man in terms of answering questions and just deflecting a lot of things.
You're talking about the Republican nominee.
Yeah.
Did you watch the debate, Jim? Did you watch it?
I watched up until that point.
Yeah.
Where you just said, and where there was no answer for that. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
At least defend yourself.
I know. Wasn't that surprising? And the answer to being accused of being complicit in the deaths of thousands and thousands of people during the opioid epidemic and basically providing cover for Big Pharma, to answer that with, well, at least I walked in my college graduation, just made no sense. It's what, you know, I mean, and what you experienced during the primary, Jim, millions of dollars spent lying about me, telling these tales. And, you know, here we are with really subpar candidates. And, you know, the people who lose in situations like this are the voters, are the taxpayers. What's our answer? You look at that stage last night, you're like, wow, this is bad and getting worse. So here's the good news, Jim. The good news is we are digging in, focused on local. I'm going to spend my energy, my time, my resources to help local candidates and campaigns run for mayor, council. We open up the phone lines to the largest audience in the state every Tuesday to allow local candidates to get their message out there. We have to focus on rebuilding not just a Republican majority in the legislature, but a common sense majority of principled men and women who will stand up for us. And that's what we have not had in this state for the better part of 30 years, ever since the disastrous election in 1993, when everybody thought, oh, we got rid of Florio and high taxes, and boom, out of the frying pan into the fire with arguably one of the worst governors in New Jersey's history, Christine Todd Whitman. So anyway, Jim, thank you. I appreciate it. You certainly don't owe me an apology, but I appreciate you calling and the sentiment you're expressing. Have a great rest of your day. Mike in Branchburg, I'm going to get to you first right after the news. Please hang in there. I want to hear your story about Jack visiting your business. 727, Eric Scott with your news next. .737 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Good news. 21 shopping days until Joe Carillo's day.
Woo.
Yeah. How about that, Eric? I mean, the time flew this time.
You know how much longer my list is this year than it was last year? Remember when we first started this, we just bought for each other.
Yeah.
Now it's expanded to family and friends. You know, it gets to be a lot.
I'm expecting some gifts now. You know, my kids are doing great, and they're both in their careers. And, you know, I haven't sent them a wish list yet, but I'm thinking about it. You know, because the kids typically will give you the list of what they want for Joe Carillo's Day. And this year, I'm thinking, we're not sure. We've talked about not exchanging gifts this year because the list got so big.
Well, and I think that's smart. And plus, I don't think that... I don't think anything that I would get from anybody else can top what my son gave me last year. And I was just talking about it, it kind of brings a little bit of a tear to my eye.
Yeah, a little choked up.
He gave me a vintage Parkway token.
Ah, oh, wow. Wow.
It was wrapped in a little jewelry box. It had a little red bow on it. You know, we were all sitting out having the Carrillo Rita around the fire pit. And, you know, he hands me this box. And, you know, I mean, it just, I mean.
Chokes you up because it brings you right back to the old days.
It was.
The nostalgia.
And it's that moment that I realized, okay, he gets it. He understands what this holiday is all about. And, you know, the gravity behind it.
Yeah. I think it's something that is lost in the annals of this state, because the legislature has still failed to act to recognize this holiday. I mean, and we're talking about one of their own.
Right.
So they've really turned their back on one of their own. And that to me, I think that's the real tragedy of this. But look, as long as I have a mic, we will continue to fight to have the recognition that former Senator Joe Carillo's deserves. There is a song, I should tell you.
I heard the band rehearsing something the other day.
Well,
did they come up with something?
It's very good.
Okay.
Matter of fact, John and Trucker Jim, if you guys can hang in there before I get back to this discussion about the debate, I think the audience should hear this, because 21 shopping days left. I think we're almost late getting into the spirit, but I feel like it's like putting out the Joe Carillo's decorations in August is too early.
It's too early.
I waited till October this year, but let's this is just to get you into the holiday spirit.
Just hand me that box of tissues there.
Yeah, I got them. I have my paper towels are here too. Go ahead.
The traffic's on the JKB and my car's wasting energy. Now that I'm in a really bad rush, my car just sits here idling, thinking about the gas I waste. 23 cents more a gallon from gas tax pump paid from way back in 2016. Transportation trust fund filled. It passed along the bipartisan scheme, so suck it up and dig more deep. I know this extra gas cost stinks, but as I sit here on the bridge, I cry tears on the Navasink.
I might walk on water.
Celebrate Joe Carillo's day with quiet contemplation among family and friends.
Of course, Joe, if you're listening, you know, you're welcome to come on. We'd love to have you as a guest of honor.
Joe Carillo's, but we couldn't miss this one this year. Joe Carillo's, but we couldn't miss this one this year. Joe Carillo's, but we couldn't miss this one this year. Joe Carillo's, but we couldn't miss this one this year. Joe Carillo's, but we couldn't miss this one this year.
What do you think? Powerful.
I'm a little choked up right now. You know,
and you're in the spirit now. You feel it, right?
Fully in the spirit. Yeah. I put up limited decorations this year. I'm going full out now.
I was thinking that too. Jody had asked me that, you know, we have those trees right in front that line the walk, and every year I dedicate one of them with all blue for Blue Friday just to honor our police and fire. Yeah. But I think I'm going to now dedicate a second tree to Joe Carillo's day, and I'm thinking of just leaving it up like through the end of the year.
We have one of those high-tech doorbells where you can actually program different, you know, things in it holidays and things like that. I want to take the chorus, Joe Carillo's, and I'm going to put that for the rest of the month as my doorbell ring.
I was thinking, you know, just in the off chance that Joe will call me back someday, that I'll put that as a ringtone so I'll know it's him.
It's, you know, look, he's a very humble guy. And,
very humble.
You know,
very
he doesn't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, frankly, you know, he was a little embarrassed that you know, the celebration got to be as big as it was.
I think you're right. Maybe he's the one asking the legislature not to act on it. Maybe he's just too humble to be honored that way.
I could see him doing that. I could absolutely see him doing that, you know, out of that humility in his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Carillo's. 21 shopping days left. All right, John, Julius, Cheryl, you'll all be coming up right after Traffic and Weather next, 743.
Live and local radio with personalities who care about what you think. We are New Jersey 101.5.
/7:51 on New Jersey 101.5. Let's jump right back in. Hey, I want to thank Big Dave on the app chat in West Hampton. Joe Carillo's Day is going to be special this year. That's a top 10 hit song. Dave, I agree. Carlene in Flemington, not so happy with us. Please stop the phony holiday talk. It's very annoying. Thank you. Wow. Carlene, that hurts. We've taken a lot of time over the past 10 years to honor Joe Carillo's in a way that is fitting of the holiday, of the sentiment. And, you know, when you fight hard every year to make sure the family can get together for a special holiday, I don't think you should rain on that parade. But you're entitled to your belief. If you're an anti-Joe Carillo's holiday camp, I understand. But I'll do a poll soon about whether or not we should make this a school holiday, at least a half day. But we'll have that conversation. Many people weighing in on the app as far as the debate last night. And you're hearing in the news that moment where Mikey Sherrill went after the Republican candidate, accusing him of killing tens of thousands because of the work his company did providing cover for Big Pharma during the opioid epidemic. And I don't know. I mean, the problem was not just the accusation that he had no answer for, but the fact that his response, given the gravity of thousands and thousands who died in New Jersey, his response is, at least I walked at my college graduation. Wow. Bad night for him, for sure. Let's go to John in Morristown. Morning, John.
Hey, morning, Bill. Good morning. It's not often that I get talked to live to a political ex-political perennial candidate, so this is such a treat. First of all, you know, Mickey Sherrill, she was...
Wait, I'm a former perennial candidate, or I'm still a perennial candidate?
You're not running anymore.
No, I'm not.
Anymore, so you're a former. But you're still a perennial candidate. You're still
perennial and former. Yeah. Okay, cool. Good. Anyway, just wanted to establish that.
Mickey Sherrill, you know, she helicopter pilot. She didn't make orders. She took orders. She followed orders. She was told where to go. She was told what to do, just like she's doing right now. She's listening to the Democrats in Washington, and they're telling her what to do. We don't want that anymore. People of New Jersey deserve better. You know, Jack took a hit with the opioid crisis. You know, you always think when you start something, it's always going to be good. It's always going to be beneficial, and then it runs amok. You had a Democratic Senatorial Pharmaceutical Board that watched this happen. They did nothing. Just like they watched fentanyl come over our borders, they did nothing. It took a Republican president to close the borders, to stop the flow of fentanyl into our...
It took Donald Trump, John. It took Donald Trump. I'm not so sure every Republican president would have been strong like Donald Trump to get that done.
Okay, but she watched it. Okay, so, you know, calling Jack, watching back, you know, he couldn't do anything. It was his company, and he sold it, all right? He took credit, he took the responsibility for it, he acknowledged it, and moved on. So you know what? Mickey Sherrill, all she is about herself and the Democratic Party, and she takes orders. She doesn't follow. She can't make any decisions without their help.
Well, just one comment on that. I mean, the taking orders, I mean, I was enlisted in the Marine Corps. I took orders then, and any service member who is facing an order from an officer or someone that outranks you is going to follow orders too. I don't know that that's a bad thing. And the only thing I will say on that is, you know, she wore the uniform, he did not. And the question really is, and look, John, if he's earned your vote, more power to you. I'm not going to try to talk you out of that at all. He has not earned my vote. But I think there is a question, and a legitimate question, on who's given the orders now. Is it the lobbyists? Is it the special interests? Is it the contributors? And to be very candid, I don't know what contributor that Mikey Sherrill was referring to is under indictment, but he had no answer for that either. So it sounded like maybe that's true. We're looking into it. But again,
Bill, the only way we're going to find out is if we get someone else in there, and then just like that, just like anything else, we can investigate, we can look through it, and we can watch the cards fall. But as long as Mickey Sherrill and the Democrats have hold on New Jersey, we're not going to find out anything.
Yeah, the Democrats have had a hold on this state for the past 25 years because the Republicans put all their eggs into the basket of Christine Todd Whitman in 1993, and then over 8 years watched a veto-proof majority dissolve because we've got weak Republicans in the legislature. And let me tell you something, John, if we're going to turn the state around, it's only going to happen when we start electing strong leaders, common-sense Republicans, not guys that shill for special interests and big pharma, people who are real, earthy, work for a living, hard-working, common-sense-minded, family-oriented people that have conviction and faith. And until we get there and start replacing some of these bums in the Republican caucus, starting with the leadership in the Assembly and the Senate, two guys that have no backbone, that roll over for the Democrats constantly, you're never going to get it done. We're going to end up like Massachusetts. They elect Republican governors. Guess what? The Republicans get nothing done in Massachusetts because there is such an overwhelming majority of left-wing legislators that they can't move government. So we need a reset in New Jersey, and we'll have some announcements coming up after November 5th. John, thank you. Appreciate the call, though. Julius, I want to make sure you make your point on the other side of the news, which is next.
New Jersey 101.5. Remember, this Thursday, the $1,000 a day at work payday increases to $10,000. The fun kicks off at 8 a.m. right here on New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Nissan. Fall starts with Nissan. Route 46, Route 17, Edison Nissan, and Route 33 Nissan. Where buying is always fun and easy.
810 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. Hey, if our band team and writers are listening, we're going to be sending you a link. We're going to be registering Joe Carillo's Day on the National Day calendar register. So I will have that link. If you guys don't mind just putting together the application. Eric, there's a whole process that you got to go through to so we don't have to wait for the legislature.
We can make it official.
We can do it ourselves. Yeah, so
I love this.
So this is a note we got on the app chat from Gentle Bear in Morrisville. Thank you, Gentle Bear. He's got a little emoji of a bear, but we're going to do that. So it is an application process. So we're going to ask our team, who've been writing some incredible lyrics. The song is going to be cleaned up. We think that there were some pitch issues in the front that need to be cleaned up. So they're going to be re-recording. Tonight, we've got some studio space available, and they're going to gather the band again. But I'll keep you posted on that. Let's go to Julius in North Brunswick. Wants to take us back to the debate. Oh. Julius.
Hey, good morning. Can you guys hear me clear?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Right?
Thank you.
And to hear the hatred that people are throwing towards, listen. She displayed her case. She laid it out.
Now, talking about Mikey Sherrill last night.
Yes. Now, for me, if I was accused of contributing to killing tens of thousands of New Jerseyans, I would put up a fight. Not to distract and to say, hey, at least I walked through my graduation. That's deflection, man. And New Jersey deserves better. Like, I'm a Democrat, and for the past 12 years, I've been voting Republican.
Yeah.
And this year, I was going to vote Republican, but last night, I'm really on the fence.
Yeah.
Because she laid it to him. He didn't have a rebuttal. It was just the distraction. Hey, at least I walked. So,
but Julius, wouldn't you at least have said, no, I didn't?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right, how about no?
If somebody's lying on me and accusing me of killing one person, I don't care. I'm a fight. That's probably going to be the end of
Julius,
the because I'm going to be there.
The problem is that she's not lying, clearly. Clearly, the work that his multimillion-dollar company, which gave him a golden parachute to be able to be a perennial candidate for the past 10 years running for governor, how does he have all those millions? Well, the company was worth something. So it was worth something to who? Billion-dollar big pharma industry that is making money off the opioid epidemic, making money about pushing pills on young people. I mean, let's face the facts here, Julius. There isn't one person pre-COVID that did not blame big pharma for the opioid epidemic. And New Jersey in particular, three times the overdose deaths compared to the national average. So it's a very serious thing. Now, is that enough to vote for the Democrat who I would argue is also complicit in the high cost of living because of Democrat policies? Well, I don't think so. But it's certainly enough to say, for me, the Republican absolutely hasn't earned my vote. I think it's time, especially if you're a Democrat, Julius, and you've been voting Republican, my guess is you don't line up with all the radicalism of the Democratic Party. And what I would ask you to consider is, if you've been voting Republican, register as a Republican so you can vote in the primary so we don't get stuck again with two idiots who people are like, it's none of the above.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate you, Julius. So, Eric, that's the reality, that there are a lot of people out there in the none of the above category because the Democrats are too radical on their social policies. And the Republicans will say anything. I shouldn't say Republicans. The Republican nominee will say anything to get elected, but had no answer for an accusation that he killed tens of thousands of people. You know what he could have done? He could have laughed and said, that is hyperbole and sensational, and it sounds ridiculous. Instead, he got mad. Why? Because he's guilty.
He was a guilty man.
He
could have literally said anything.
Anything. Except, at least I walked at my graduation. My phone went into overdrive with people texting me in real time. Can you believe that we just watched that? I can't believe how many people I know watched the debate last night. I don't know if the general population watched it, but anyway.
People, you didn't walk at your graduation should never be the answer to you're responsible for killing tens of thousands of people.
Never.
Would your first reaction not be, no, I didn't.
No, I didn't. Yeah, explain it. And this accusation of breaking the law, we should have explained that too, because we clearly he's referring to the $7 million.
Right.
But to our knowledge, there's nothing. The real problem is Washington. It's the legal corruption.
Correct.
That is the problem.
Not they're policing themselves.
Right. Look at how much. Yeah. Look at the Nancy Pelosi stock watch. People are making millions watching her investments and following it.
Yeah.
It's outperforming the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
I mean, it's
the insider trading that they've essentially made legal. In Congress is the problem.
Legal, disgusting. Not ethical.
There's a difference. 816, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X, or visit NJ1015.com for the latest Jersey news and updates. New Jersey 101.5.
It's 823 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I hope, and I'm seeing this on the app chat, that most of our listeners appreciate that we're calling balls and strikes on this. You know, you got to report honestly about what's happening. And you know, this race for governor took a wacky, wild turn yesterday. And, you know, but this is what happens, guys, when you have candidates who are owned by lobbyists. That's what happens. They're not ready to answer even basic questions. And quite honestly, I don't know how Jack wasn't prepared for a question about the opioid epidemic. How do you sit on millions of dollars and then with a straight face accuse your opponent of breaking the law? It's nuts. And, you know, for those of us that have people in our family, our friend group who have died from addiction and overdose, it's really unsettling to see a major candidate just make a mockery of the deaths of tens of thousands of New Jerseyans. And to equate that to walking in your graduation, I mean, embarrassing is probably the best word for it. Sad, really. But how long have I been telling you? Years I've been telling you that the way to avoid the situation of two idiots on the general election ballot is you got to vote in the primary. So you're going to get another crack at this in June of 2026, where you can hold some of these members of Congress accountable on both sides of the aisle. Watch their votes. Believe me, I'll be reporting on Republican and Democrat votes all throughout the primary because I think you deserve choices. And, you know, interesting, and I don't know if this is a tell or not, but President Donald Trump endorsed Jeff Van Drew and Chris Smith the other day. Is that an indicator that the president is looking past November 2025? I don't know. Let's go to Tom in Hillsborough. Morning, Tom.
Good morning, Bill. Bear with me because it's going to take me a few minutes or just a little bit to say what I have, like, ask the question.
All right. You got about a minute. So go ahead.
All right. So the debate style is nothing. It seems like a waste these days because it's all tit for tat and they're bickering back and forth ever since you were up on stage with those guys to what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
What I've been involved in is, you know, I'm in the Republican Club in Somerset County, and I've seen the candidate nights and I've seen the, you know, previews on who's who for our party. That's great. But are you aware of any sort of like preview of all candidates, even on like the local and smaller levels, like Board of Ed and other things where almost like graduation style, candidates from both sides, everybody that's running that's going to be on the ballot should come up and have 3 to 5 minutes to explain what their position is to the public so that way they can make an educated decision on voting day, maybe a few days after or weeks after. But there's nothing that's bipartisan that I'm aware of as far
well,
as there's all these candidates.
Tom, there's only one.
Other than just the mailers.
There's only one. This show. I open it up every Tuesday at 8 o'clock to local candidates. And I don't know if you've listened the last couple of Tuesdays, but a lot of Democrats call, a lot of Republicans call. You know, I get people get mad because, you know, I'm friends with Eric Peterson. I think he's one of the outstanding legislators, one of the few members of the assembly that actually knows what he's doing and has true conviction. But his opponent called the show the other day and I gave him the mic. I mean, to me, right, my job is not to suppress free speech, is to open it up. You'll make your own decision. This is why I won't endorse the Republican in the governor's race, because you'll make your own decision. I've made my decision. I'm not voting for that guy. He's bad news. But just because he hasn't earned my vote doesn't mean he can't earn your vote. And Tom, just so you know, he's been invited on this show. Jack and Mikey are both welcome to call this show. We are equal opportunity here, and I will call balls and strikes. I will hold up a mirror to the ugliness. But to your point, I think it would be nice if the state had a website where candidates could put their, give them like 150 words each, and you could look up the district and the education board or whatever it is and find the candidates that you'd be voting on. That would be really informative, but to my knowledge, nobody does it.
If I can, Bill, sorry to take just a little step further, but my mind is thinking about an auction, right? And every time you vote, you're voting with a dollar. That's your dollar of, mm-hmm. of who you want to buy. And I'm familiar with the auctions. And every time you go to an auction and you're going to buy something, there's preview days. There's a preview day for at least a day or two where you get to see what you're going to buy.
Yeah.
And this is what we're doing as voters and as taxpayers. Yep. But there is no such thing as an actual preview event.
And let me tell you something, Tom.
And I love the show.
Thank you. You're right. I hate to cut you off. I got to jump to news. I'm running late, but your point is well taken. And the only opportunity you have to be educated about every election around the state is this morning show. I'm the only one that will bring to light both parties. All candidates are welcome on Tuesdays. And the week before the election, we're going to open it up a couple more days to give everybody a chance to call in. But you got to have the guts to call. Thank you, Tom. Everybody else, hang in there. Eric Scott with the news next. It's 8:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. All right, we got to jump right in because I've only got a couple of minutes before traffic and weather. We'll start with Anthony and Edison. What's your take on this race for governor?
Hey, what's going on, Bill? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, it's first of all, you're 100% right. Jack's been running for governor for 10 years. The guy sounds so robotic in a lot of his stuff that he, you know, his interviews and so on. But more importantly, is my question to Jack would be, and his people, why is he spending time going to campaign rallies, endorsing Democrat candidates, and from my understanding, giving money to Democrat candidates here in Middlesex County, when that money could have been used to Republicans who are fighting for their political lives in districts that are going to be tight? And that's the problem with Jack. He didn't unite the party. His first phone call after the primary should have been to you.
Sure.
And to bring this party together, he did not do that.
Anthony, he didn't even call John Bramnick. And then he went on Sid Rosenberg's show and said he doesn't want my support. Doesn't need my support. I got all his voters. All right. Well, good luck. Right?
It's astonishing. So, I mean, I've been a part of the conservative movement for a long time. This guy is no conservative. He's a Bush light, and it's unfortunate, too. And quite honestly, you hear him talk. He talks like he knows, you know, as if it's scripted.
Yeah.
There's no authenticity in the guy. There really is not. But and that's my problem with him. You know, support Republicans that need your help.
Right. You know, Anthony, this has been a problem in the Republican Party for 30 years, and I've been saying it. They do, how many times I was talking with my friend Pat Johnson, who runs Mercer County, and we were just talking about some of the local campaigns that need help. And I said, look, I'm going to open up the airwaves to these guys. I'm going to do my part. You know, but I can't help but notice, you go back over the last few years, where was Jack when we were knocking on doors, Common Sense Club, all those things, knocking on doors for people running for sheriff and council and mayor. And, you know, we racked up all these great wins locally, yet it became a campaign attack because they tried to, they did. They lied about all the things that we had accomplished because they don't want it to be reflected on them that this backroom cabal has never done anything for local candidates. I'll make you this promise, Anthony. We're going to have some announcements coming after November 5th, and We're looking ahead to 26 and 27. We will be very aggressive resetting this party. And I can tell you it's going to mean some primaries in 27 with some of these weak Republicans who are complicit in the lies and in the real destruction of our party, where they have gutted the principles of the party because they went after anybody that did not support this past 10-year agenda with Jack and Hugin and all the other losers that have driven this party into the ground. There are better times ahead. We just got to hang tough. It's going to be a tough fight, but with guys like you on board, we're going to be just fine. So thank you, man. Appreciate your call. Take care. Mike, Greg, Sal, in order, after traffic and weather next, 842.
New Jersey 101.5. This Thursday, we increase the daily at-work payday from $1,000 to $10,000. Yes, $10,000. Win big with New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Nissan. Fall starts with Nissan. Route 46, Route 17, Edison Nissan, and Route 33 Nissan. Where buying is always fun and easy.
852 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Just tweeted out, follow me on X, at Bill Spadia. Eric Scott's analysis of last night's debate, some of what we were talking about this morning. You know, it's really interesting. I'm getting a lot of people telling me that they are going to vote for the lesser of two evils. You might be surprised at who they think is the lesser of two evils in this election. Let's go to Mike in Branchburg. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm good.
It's really good to hear you back on the air.
Thank you.
I told you when you were making your run. So
thank you.
I work in a place of business. I can't really, you know, drop the name.
Okay.
But Chitterell came, little speech. Upon arrival, he gave the speech outside at a podium, and all the Chitterelli signs just popped up out of nowhere. I was thinking about slipping in a Spadia one.
That wouldn't have gone over too well.
Yeah.
So what did he say?
And they couldn't really... the crowd was not energized at all. They couldn't really speak freely since he was, you know, a guest. And he went over his usual... you know, like, where are you from, what county, and then, you know, what town, and he named all the counties, which I don't really know why he did that, to try to show that he was, like, third-generation Italian-American.
Yeah.
He gave us, you know, his rundown of how he would solve the energy crisis and the property taxes, which wasn't really an answer to any of the questions.
Right.
So I shook his hand, and the back of my mind is, you know, I voted for Spadia, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, I think, Mike, a lot of the folks who voted for me, you know, I'm proud of the 100,000 votes we got, especially with President Trump telling people not to vote for me. That was a big number. And what we're learning is a lot of these folks were new primary voters, right? Independents and Democrats who switched over to vote in the primary because I ran a principled campaign. I didn't make any promises on jobs. We didn't take any special interest money. There was no outside influence. It was, here's what I believe. You're either ready for this or not. And if you look at the support that Jack got, clearly people were influenced by the misrepresentation of me, things that I've said out of context, taken out of context, horrible, horrible lies pushed by kitchen table conservatives and you know, Kellyanne, all these Trump henchmen around him that were just fine with lying about me. But they had $10 million to spread the lies. So here's the thing. God had another plan for me, but I love New Jersey. I'm digging in. And, you know, Mike, there are a lot of guys like you out there that that would have supported me, but don't vote in primaries. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, wow, hey, are you still running? When's the election? And I'm like, ah, clearly you missed it in June. But it's okay because, Mike, it's not about me. It's about the families and the businesses and the cops and the teachers and the firefighters. And I believe strongly that that's why I was meant to come back to this microphone and empower people that don't have a voice and look beyond this election and say, look, we got to start electing some really strong local leaders in 26, in 27, and start to creep back to a common sense majority in the legislature to hold whoever's in the governor's office accountable. So that's the mission. And I proudly will take up this fight. So thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Have a great rest of your day. Mark, Greg, Sal, I'll be right back. 8:55. Eric Scott with the news next.
Where you can stay connected to everything happening in Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
909 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Eric, I shared your debate analysis on X.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask.
Hate, I'm sure, is pouring in.
Well, two things. One, I think we're going to need an extra segment for the hate-o-meter on Wednesday. So not everybody agrees with your analysis. You know what it is? The Republicans can't disagree with it,
right,
but they're so mad about their nominee that they're like, oh, crap. Because everything you said is factual and accurate. And, you know, it's what I'm seeing, like, even on the app chat, people are mixed. They're mixed. You know, that you're getting some of the diehards, like, who's that guy in Washington Township that hates you so much, that hated me for years, now hates you.
Now hates us both.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you're getting some of that. But I will tell you, Eric, most people are thanking us for calling balls and strikes and just holding up a mirror to say, guys, this is the reality. Don't live in a fantasy. Here's the reality.
Well, if you're going to make a choice, make an informed choice.
That's right.
And that's, you know, it's not my job to tell you who to vote for. And you know, but it is my job to tell you what's going on. And that was a bad moment. It was a bad moment. And it's one of those things that if all you want are tired sound bites and, you know, campaign clips, that's what you got up until that moment. And it's at that moment and how candidates react. And as we talked about earlier, and it was one of the kind of the hook of my article, it's not really what your opponent says about you, because mud is slung in every political campaign. And if you're not ready for it to be a bare knuckle gutter fight in New Jersey, then you shouldn't be running. It's how respond to what that allegation is.
Yes.
And we saw a masterclass last night on how not to respond.
Well, definitely if you're accused of killing tens of thousands of people, the right answer is certainly anything but, at least I walked at my graduation.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't a denial.
You never denied it.
It would be, your first response was, no, I didn't.
Yeah. That would be a person that was not harboring the guilt of saying all, he probably couldn't remember his response, because he has changed his responses over his 10 years as a perennial candidate for governor. So who's surprised he didn't have a response? He wasn't prepared, because he's like, well, which Jack is it today? And that's what the consulting class, if anyone's to blame, it's probably the high-priced consultants he's got around him. All right, let's go to Mark in Rahway. What's going on, Mark?
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. What do you want to say?
So obviously I've been following this, the election and the candidates, and obviously the major Republicans, but then there's a down ballot, and I've always had problems. Like, you never could find out about these people. And, you know, I hate to just, you know, rubber stamp them, not even know nothing about them, their positions. And I don't know if you know of anybody of these candidates for the different offices in the Rahway area.
That's a good question. I will tell you there is a list at the Union County GOP website where I'm just looking through it now. You've got Union, Springfield, Roselle Park, New Providence, Kenilworth, Garwood, Cranford, Berkeley. So I that would be my suggestion first, to check there. And if you've got a specific race, I'm happy to do some research for you, because, yeah, it really is about local. And I am telling people that for me, at the local level, I am a strong down ballot Republican voter, because I can tell you that almost every candidate running locally is going to be better than the local Democrats, because the only way back is to fix local. So, Mark, I would check out unioncountygop.org and then go on Facebook and go to Rahway Republicans and see what you come up with, because they should, if they're not even on Facebook, then these are not candidates that are serious. Do you know what I mean? Like, at some point, if you can't find them and they've not knocked on your door, then they don't deserve your vote. I mean, you know, and that's why there are many. I'll tell you this. In Princeton, I almost always write in for council because the Republicans are so just invisible in Princeton, my hometown. They almost never run candidates for local council. It's a true one-party town. It's a shame. And I'm hoping that, you know, to exercise some influence over the next few years and help them get better. But it's sad because most of the local groups just put all their eggs in the basket of the statewide candidate and think, oh, they'll come and save the day. And it doesn't work that way. So anyway, check that UnionCountyGOP.org out and give me a call back in a day or so, or send me a message on the chat. And if I find anything in Rahway, I will. I'll let you know. Thanks, Mark. Let's go to Paul in Galloway. Hey, Paul. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Spadia. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm calling about your conversations you're having about the gubernatorial election.
Sure. What do you want to say?
And I was looking at your website, and I didn't see anything about Mikey Sherrill. It's basically all about Jack Cittarelli, how he was angry, how...
You're talking about the article that Eric Scott wrote.
Yes.
Yeah, well... Yeah, go ahead. I mean, just to be fair...
All. I just want to put in balance. I just want to bring something into balance.
Go ahead.
To balance it out. I'm a veteran. I'm mm-hmm. a Vietnam veteran. I served with the 173rd Airborne at LZ English.
Wow.
And this
God
lady,
bless you.
This lady who was a helicopter pilot graduated from the Naval Academy, mm-hmm. and yet she doesn't want to talk about her record where she didn't walk with her class. To me, that's important because she makes that part of her campaign. That's number one. Number two, she voted to keep the government closed. And number three, she wants to open borders, which is bringing fentanyl across our border, which is killing people in our country. And yet it seems to be that it's about nothing. Jack should have taken that opportunity to mention that when they brought up about something about his opioid, you know, about his websites and his opioid.
Well, Paul, the problem is Jack is weak and he has no principles. So how does a guy with no principles attack somebody for the wrong principles? That's the problem with him, and he's been running for governor for 10 years, and it was no surprise to me. This is a guy that supported Murphy's lockdowns, that stood online with his mask on to get the jabs, which said that he would, and he said this at the last debate, that he will continue the policy of forcing vaccines on New Jerseyans, including children. So, you know, what's the difference when it comes to medical freedom? Cheryl and Cittarelli are the same candidate.
Well, let's agree on that. Let's say they're basically the same candidates. I mean, they are running in New Jersey, but we got to break this lock that the Democrats have.
I agree.
In the state of New Jersey.
I agree, and it has to happen at the assembly level. You're not wrong, Paul. Paul, listen, I've got to jump, but look, I appreciate you. I will encourage everybody to read Eric Scott's article because I believe, and you tell me, read it. It is as balanced an article as you're going to get. He pointed out the good and the bad. The headline notwithstanding, the reality is the headline captured what happened last night where Jack was completely knocked out by Cheryl's attack on his apology tour where he made millions protecting the opioid industry and Big Pharma. And he did not deny it. Instead, he said, well, at least I walked in my graduation. I don't think that rises to the level of a man that deserves your trust as the chief executive in New Jersey. But that's just one man's opinion. And as Jack will tell you, he didn't want my support. I'm only one vote. You make your own vote. Make these guys earn it. Whether it's Cheryl or Cittarelli, make them earn it. 917, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
To $10,000. Think about how you'd spend that amount of cash. The New Jersey 101.5 Morning Show gets the codes rolling starting at 8 a.m. on New Jersey 101.5. Complete contest rules and details on our New Jersey 101.5 app. $1,000 a day just for listening at work on New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Nissan.
Nissan. Fall starts with Nissan. Route 46, Route 17, Edison Nissan, and Route 33 Nissan. Where buying is always fun and easy.
924 New Jersey 101.5. Let's wrap up this conversation about the debate. We'll give the last couple of words here. We'll start with Greg in Freehold. Morning, Greg. How are you?
Morning, Bill. So I thought Jack, you know, the low point you noted in Eric's article was good about him not responding to the ridiculous accusation that he helped kill tens of thousands of people. He should have had a response to that. The non-response is all people are talking about. But
yeah, of course.
He had a lot of good points during the debate, right? He talked about school choice, vouchers, charters, about changing the school funding formula, ending cashless bail, ending the immigrant trust directive.
Actually, he didn't say ending cashless bail. He said reforming bail reform. And that's part of the problem, Greg, is that there are no details that go with that. And you know, we and he and I have debated, and he doesn't have a specific plan. Now, he may have earned your vote because a lot of people and the Republicans saying, look, he's better than Cheryl. I understand that people feel that way. Some people feel that way. But that's part of the problem. Like, what does it mean to change the funding formula? What does it mean? What does it mean specifically?
Right, exactly. But
right?
That has to be hashed out, and you have to fight through Democrats in the legislature to get it done.
Well, and Greg, what about the school choice? But look at school choice, right? I agree with school choice. We advocated for it. We talked about the tax breaks and everything else. But like, you have this unfair. Here's a guy that was so desperate to get the support of the VOD that he won't even touch the busing issue. You got Lakewood private schools getting two buses. And I have put this out before, and I'm starting to get some people that are saying, you know what, that makes sense, that instead of a bus for girls and a bus for boys to satisfy the Jewish Orthodox separation, which I respect, how about the e-roof? It works for your community during the Sabbath, so put a string down the middle, girls on one side, boys on the other, save the taxpayers 50% of the money. Things like that,
yeah,
that he's too afraid to say because he's owned by the special interest. That's the problem. One of the problems.
Well, I don't know that I agree that he's owned by anybody, but you know, every candidate is okay. Different. And, you know, he has good ideas and some things I don't agree with. But
yeah,
if he were to win, you know, changing the school funding formula to equal on a per pupil basis or something like that would be a huge victory. And pulling out of the regional greenhouse gas initiative would be an enormous victory. Lowering taxes, reducing regulations, reducing the size of government. That's all good stuff, right? So there's a lot to like about
you. Well, there's a lot to like about the ideas that he'll occasionally mention. What you got to look deep in is, what's the guy's real history? Does he actually mean what he's saying now, or is he going to govern the way he acted in the legislature, the way he acted as a member of the Freeholder Board, consolidating cops, going after cops, wanting to lower their pay? I mean, you have to say, are we dealing with two candidates who you can believe at face value, or are we being lied to again, which is why I spend my time focused on local. But thank you, Greg. Always appreciate talking to you. You raised some good points. 927, Eric Scott with the news next. 938 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, Eric, I just want to wrap up this conversation on the debate. A couple of takeaways. One, I have shared your article on X, so follow me at Bill Spadia. And click on Eric's article, analyzing the debate. The headline kind of speaks to the most important point of the debate, where everything changed when Mikey Sherrill accused Jack of killing thousands of people. Here's what's interesting, Eric, that I have not had one angry tweet, one angry Facebook post, or one angry post on our app chat that says the following: please stop saying things about Jack because he's a good guy, he's a good candidate, and he has better ideas. Not one. Almost to a person, and a lot of these you can tell they're trolls because it's like at Fred with 20 numbers. Like they're just, it's the Chinarelli team trolling me. But what is interesting is almost to a person, it's, we know he's horrible, but please, he's better than Cheryl.
That's
what they've been reduced to.
And that's what I get. And, you know, as my phone was blowing up last night, a lot of it were from
Republicans, right?
Friends of mine that were just like, ugh, what just happened here? You know,
I'll read one to you. Hi, Bill. I was listening to you this morning, as I do every morning, and thank you. This is Roseanne on Twitter. And I appreciate that, Roseanne. And I think you're great. but I'm not happy how you are putting Jack down. He's way better than Mikey, and you know it. If we get her, it will be another Murphy. Please ease up on Jack. So it's almost like people are trying to protect this weak candidate who has no principles and no ideas. As you pointed out, his ideas come with repeating the question
yep.
and using statistics to back up why it's an important question.
Right.
And then he uses 10 seconds to say, I've got a plan to fix it. But we've never heard the plan. Not back to the primary. There's never been a plan.
Yeah.
Not back to 2017 has there been a plan for this perennial candidate.
And that was going to be my takeaway from the debate until, you know, Cheryl dropped the bombshell on her Republican opponent. And then, you know, I literally thought I was sitting there watching a flame out. And, you know, as part of the analysis that I wrote this morning was that if he does, in fact, become a three-time loser in his effort to be New Jersey governor, he may look back on this moment and say that was the final nail in the coffin.
It was a deciding moment for sure. Here's another one I'll read you. At Bill Spadia, the majority of us don't like Jack, but he is way better than the transplant from Virginia. Yeah. It would help if you stop bashing him. Guys, I'll speak for myself, and if it's all right, Eric, I'll speak on behalf of both of us for a moment. We're not bashing anybody. We are calling balls and strikes as we see it. I would dare anybody, challenge anybody to tell me that your Republican nominee, is he principled? I've called him unprincipled with no moral compass. Does anybody want to argue with that? I think it's pretty obvious. We know who the guy is over 10 years. So call him balls and strikes about the debate. And by the way, what I shared was your article, Eric, which outlined what happened last night, quoting the candidates themselves.
Yes. It's not my job to say who you should or should not vote for. Now, we can do policy analysis, and I've done an awful lot of that, and I've done the policy analysis of what Mikey Sherrill wants to do in terms of energy and think it would be disastrous for New Jersey.
Well, she's part of the same energy master plan, green plan. I mean, you know what you're getting with the Democrats. They line up very well with the socialists, and you want to know why your cost of living is out of control? The Democrats have been in charge of the legislature since 2001.
Yes. So, there are no surprises there.
Right.
But this was not about an analysis of policy. What I wrote about this morning was a debate performance. And for somebody who's been a perennial candidate running for the same office for more than a decade, to do what he did last night on that debate stage is unforgivable.
I agree. Unforgivable. In a moment in time that the challenge is the Republican leadership, the weak leader in the assembly, the weak leader in the state Senate, they've been complicit for, you know, you talk about how the Democrats have been in charge of government for all this time. It's the same thing that Cheryl is saying credibly that, you know, this government shutdown, you got Trump in the White House, you got the Republican majority in the House and the Senate, and you can't get the government
you can't
open.
End it.
It's a smart point. It's not completely true because you need 60 votes and not 51, but the point resonates. I would say the same thing of New Jersey. You got the Democrats in charge of most of the counties. You got the Democrats in charge of the legislature. You wonder why things are bad. The regulations are out of control. The taxes are out of control. But how have the Republicans sat back and elected these weak do-nothings, your Bucco and the head of the Senate, DeMeo in the Assembly, that get nothing done, take the crumbs off the table?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I don't know, Eric, I'm sick of people saying you got to pick the lesser of two evils. No, actually you don't. Actually, you can fight and do what the Democrats did in 1993, which is they had an eight-year plan. And what happened, Eric? They took back red counties, Camden, Mercer, flipped them completely.
Yep,
where you don't even have Republican candidates in some of these places.
It's because they started at the day they lost the majority and the day the Republicans swept into power. Democrats, they got to work the next day.
That's right.
They started putting together a plan. They started putting together a playbook. They started grooming candidates on the local level to become ultimately, you know, commissioners and mayors and assembly people and senators. They taught them how to be an electable Democrat in a red county.
Yes.
The Republican Party hasn't done that
for 25 years.
No.
So Republicans, hear this message. You need a backbone. You need principles. You need to be consistent. You need to be appealing. You got to stop sending notes about this election saying, oh, we know our candidate is horrible, but he's better than the other guy. What are you doing? Don't throw away your vote. Stand up for yourself. Be strong. Every Republican in New Jersey that saw that debate last night should have been horrified by how Jack presented himself. And know that we have to do better. And guys, it's not about me. I don't know that I'll ever be a candidate again. I can tell you this. I'm going to be on these airwaves fighting for you, fighting for small business, fighting for nurses and teachers and cops and firefighters. And you know what we need? We need regime change in Trenton. That starts by holding Republican legislators accountable. We need aggressive primaries in 26 at the local level and 27 at the legislative level. The only way out of this is long term. There is no magic wand, and no one is coming to save us, guys. So you can get angry at the mirror, but I'm showing you the ugliness of the Republican Party. What you need to do is be mad at them for presenting their ugliness. Don't get mad at the mirror for just reflecting it. 9:46. Traffic and weather next.
Stay connected with traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes right here on New Jersey 101.5.
9:53. Guys, got to get out of here. Vincent and Tom's River, keep your question to 20 seconds and I'll get you in. Go. Vincent. And we're out. Hello. All right, guys. 9:54. That was the shortest call we had all day. Dan, have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow. Guys, got to get out of here. Have a great rest of your day. I'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m.